Hey guys, before we get into the episode, I want to talk to you about our friends over at 12 Ounce Sports. You can follow them at 12 Ounce Sports on Twitter, 12OunceSportsRadio.com. If you are looking for new sports podcasts, you're looking for a one-stop shop for all the sports talk you can handle. This is where you get it, 12OunceSportsRadio.com. Check out our merchandise there. Go to the store, use the promo code BSR, you're going to get a discount. That's from us to you, to the people. We're men of the people, aren't we, Bertzik?
We're men of the people.
Check them out, 12OunceSportsRadio.com. Welcome back. BSR, we are the Basement Sports Report. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to the people out there. We're men of the people.
I like it. You've encompassed all of the listeners.
We're men of the people. My name is Clayton Windsor. With me, co-host with the most, Dan Bertzik.
What's going on?
This is a NBA playoff special. We're going to get into some other stuff, but that's the meat.
Yeah.
The meat and potatoes, if you will.
Tis. I see we have, are those two beverages over there?
Those are two beverages, but I have something, you might have to pop your headphones off.
Yeah, it's okay.
But I've got something real special for you in that little refrigerator next to you.
Oh, live? Are we doing this live?
Yeah, just go grab it. It's fine. I know it's your personal preference when it comes to beverages, and that is the 1903 vintage. I just forgot to pull it out of the fridge. I figured
you're just keeping it chilled.
I figured you'd be happier with that than than one of these.
Well, I was like, ooh,
fancy beers, yeah.
Spaten and Guinness. That was the smorgasbord. I can tell
the smorgasbord is exactly what I got going on. You have the final Miller High Life in my refrigerator, which means I am now out of Miller High Life. So I need
that
to
needs
make
to
a
change. Well, you need to make a run.
Go to the grocery store the other day. They had a deal on Guinness, so I just snapped up a 12-pack of that.
Okay.
But, you know, times are tough sometimes.
Times are tough in the podcasting business.
Well, speaking of tough times, I just saw it go across the ticker. Let's dive right into some sports talk.
Okay.
Julio Jones deletes all of his pictures off of Instagram that have Atlanta Falcons.
What is this about? Like, a guy at work mentioned it to me today, and number one, I thought he just signed a contract, which he did in 2015. I guess it's 3 years old already. But have you ever heard of, like, any tension between him and the Falcons?
No.
Like, where did this suddenly come from?
Is this unhappiness because they have not got him a ring yet?
It's just weird. It's weird timing, is it not? It's not like training camp is coming up.
No.
We got the draft coming up, but it's not like, I don't understand what the play is here.
Unless they did some sort of request to restructure and he was not happy with that.
A little behind the scenes action.
I don't know, man. It's definitely
You don't ask
something.
Julio Jones to restructure, do you?
Why the fuck do you delete all your pictures, though?
Yeah, that's, I don't know how I feel about it. It's such weird timing.
The question that just
to be something like a money restructuring or something. I think you hit it right on the head.
The question that came across was, what's the bigger loss, Gronkowski or Julio? Either way, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a huge loss either way. I think Julio to me is a bigger loss.
Me too.
Because Atlanta doesn't really have the weapons around him to fill that void. Yeah. I think with the Patriots, as long as you have Tom Brady
and Bill Belichick,
then you can plug in
just
about any receiver and make it work.
Or go get Martellus Bennett.
Yeah, you can get somebody to plug in there and make it work. I think with Julio, if you lose Julio, who do you have then? Right?
Yeah.
And you weren't getting it done with Julio.
Well,
so
they had Taylor Gabriel. He's gone. They've had some speed demons on that team. Yeah. Not anymore. Julio's your perennial number one. And what do you do?
This is weird. It's just, the timing is the weirdest thing for me.
Strange.
You have Dez Bryant as a free agent unsigned. You have Odell, who everybody was rumored to be traded, and then he's not. And all of a sudden, Julio Jones out of nowhere is like a story. Like, what is going on with all these big-name wide receivers suddenly?
It's almost like everybody's waiting for the draft before they pulled the trigger on their vets.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not how it used to be.
Yeah, I don't... I'm kind of shocked that Dez Bryant doesn't have a team yet, and I get people are they are probably just waiting to see how the draft falls and if they can pick up a wide receiver there. But
do we go into training camp and Dez does not have a home?
No, like, I think he's signed right after draft day. I'd say
me too.
I would think I'd be shocked if he wasn't on a team by training camp.
We're recording a little early this week. You're gonna hear a little different sound next week. I am out of town. I'm in Houston. I'm gonna try to go to Minute Maid. I'm going to try to get to a game or go tour or something.
Yeah.
But I'm in Houston for work, so we're going to try to get one more episode this week. We're trying to get Benny P to do some baseball talk and get you guys a MLB season preview, even though we're about a month into the season.
I think it gives us something a little bit more to bite into, right?
I agree. Furthermore, NBA playoffs is well underway. We got the draft on Thursday. NHL playoffs is well underway. A lot of good hockey games on right now. We've got Dumbass of the Week. We've got Worst Weekend Than You. And we've got This Is Electric. You want to know what's electric? Our Twitter account. Follow us at @PodcastBSR. You ready to get into some of these?
Let's get into it, yeah.
Let's get into some of these NBA playoff matchups. This is our insight and the storylines for each series. We'll go series by series. And to me, the big storyline kind of surrounding things is NBA, you know, playoffs are getting chippy. Really, really chippy. A lot of technicals. A lot of thrown bows and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
And it starts last night with the Thunder versus the Jazz. Utah leads 3-1 in this series. Jazz won game 4, 113-96. Playoff Paul George, 32 points. That ain't enough. But the storyline is shit got wild. Crowder fouled hard by Westbrook. Didn't like it. Adams and Carmelo rush in, and Steven Adams catches a forearm to the face.
Yeah.
Crowder gets ejected. Now they're looking at Westbrook. He could get ejected for game 5 for slapping away Rudy Gobert's arm during an altercation. Problem is, he wasn't even in the game at that time, but he was in the process of checking in. So the argument or the debate is, was he checking into the game or was he running over there to get involved in the altercation?
Does it matter?
I don't know that it does.
I think if you're in the game or you're not in the game, you're getting involved, right?
Yeah, true.
Whether you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to enter the game or you're entering the game, no, you're still getting involved in it.
If Westbrook does not play game 5, which has it come out whether he's going to play or not?
I'm looking now. I don't see anything on it.
Okay. The BPI has Utah as an 88% favorite right now. That's straight from the four-letter network.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, things are getting really chippy with this.
They're getting chippy because you see a talented team in OKC
falling apart.
And we talked about it, that they should be way better. When you look at this team on paper, they have a ton of talent, and they're just not getting it done. And when you're not getting it done, that's when people start to get chippy, and you start to, you know, this is a series that they feel that they should win. And they're coming up short.
Paul George had him a technical. Adams had one earlier in the game. So frustration setting in a little bit. And you know, they're down 3-1 in a series that I would have taken the Thunder to beat the Jazz. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, Donovan Mitchell himself, he put up 33. He's a guy that's kind of thrown this Utah team on his back.
Yeah.
And really kind of been the driving force of why they're being so successful during the series.
Definitely making his name known when it comes to this NBA roster and the Rookie of the Year race. I mean, it's one of those things where this kid is now a name that sports fans know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the way he's shown up when he needed to in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. And I got to be honest, 88%, the Jazz beat the Thunder. I'm okay with those numbers. I could see it going that way at this point.
Did you see it? We'll kind of blend This Is Electric with NBA here.
Yeah.
Did you see the clip of Mitt Romney at the game?
Yeah.
Heckling Westbrook.
How do you feel
That's
about
four.
It?
That's four as Westbrook is walking away.
Mitt Romney.
I love it. I love stuff like that. Dude,
people fucking hate Mitt Romney.
Dude, and he's sitting there in his Jazz jersey just heckling the shit out of Westbrook. Yeah. I love it.
So we get game five tomorrow. It's going to be... No, it's not tomorrow. Hold on. Let me look. Yes, it is. It's tomorrow night in OKC. So they get a chance to try to, you know, claw their way back into this series. But I don't know that they can win two in a row against this Jazz team.
No, I think Jazz is on a roll right now. And the Thunder are struggling. I don't see them battling back and winning two in a row. I'm taking the Jazz.
We're going to see. Houston versus the Timberwolves. The Rockets are up 3-1. They win, but I still don't trust them. And they're headed back to Houston with a 3-1 lead. Storyline is halftime adjustments here. 50-point third quarter in game four. Let me repeat. That's one quarter.
Yeah.
50 points.
Yeah.
That's the second ever 50-point quarter in NBA history.
And then in the fourth, they put up 19. Yeah. So... I mean, yeah, I get it. You had a huge lead, so you kind of lay off a little bit.
This is
the playoffs, right?
Finish.
Close. Yeah. And they end up winning by 19, so I get that. To me, the bigger story is the lack of star power showing up on the Timberwolves. Yeah. You've had Karl Anthony Towns, other than this last game, has been non-existent. You have Derrick Rose scoring more off the bench. Up until this game.
You allowed Harden to drive his way to the rack over and over again. They're pulling off screens. Houston looks good in transition. Transition offense is clicking. You've got Harden getting 22 points in one quarter.
Yeah. You need to guard that guy.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
If they're going to beat you, don't let that guy do it.
No.
That's kind of, we'll get to the Bucks, but that's kind of what we did with Rozier.
Yeah.
Let's that's shut exactly him what down. Happened. Make he, somebody
he
else
dominated
win.
Dominated us for two games, and then they, you know, they made the adjustment finally.
So what I'll say is halftime adjustments were big in this game, but the bigger storyline is the fact that the Rockets aren't consistent. And like I said, I think they win this series 3-1. T-Wolves haven't been able to do much. BPI on ESPN has Houston a 97% favorite. I think they win this series, but I don't trust them. I don't trust them to go on and make a deep run because of those inconsistencies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's move on. Let's go to the Pelicans. They sweep Portland. This should be a pretty quick one. Six seed sweeps a three seed. And I saw a tweet today that said the NBA playoffs have been very confusing this year.
Yeah, I think they have too. You have a lot of teams that are, I don't want to say up-and-comers, but guys that you didn't necessarily expect are playing a lot better than these squads that are going in, like a Boston that's a number two, or like the Trailblazers. It's the teams that you're expecting to go in and being strong are kind of falling flat. Nobody is looking extremely dominant.
You know, I looked at this team, Pelicans, no Boogie Cousins. Tore his Achilles back in what was it, January?
Yeah, long ago.
Back in January. And no Boogie Cousins. I looked at this being a very even series, like what we've seen out of some of these other series. No, the Pelicans take the first two on the road and come home and finish the job.
Yeah.
And a six seed sweeps a three seed. Well, that's wild.
Anthony Davis puts up 47. It's a franchise record. He put 33 of that up in the second half.
That's wild.
Everybody, LeBron, I'd vote for me for MVP. Anthony Davis is kind of throwing this team on his back, is he not?
He's been really, really impressive. And the storyline I read today is, does this Pelicans team look better without Boogie Cousins?
Because that's a hot take.
They just swept a three seed.
I get that. So wouldn't they be that much better with Cousins?
I would think so, but they just swept a three seed without him.
Yeah.
So you can't deny that. That's probably going to be the narrative come the offseason is come personnel moves, what are we going
to
do?
To me, I look at it as it, when you get Boogie back, you're that much better, okay. And you don't need that much more
firepower.
Yeah, you don't need that much more pieces around Anthony Davis. I think once you get Boogie back, then it's like, okay, hey, if we were that good without him, now we should be one of the teams to beat.
Yeah, I agree. And Anthony Davis is showing himself as one of the better players in this league. And there's nothing that anybody can do about it. He's showing, I'm going to score 46. You know what's about to come down your throat. You can't do nothing
stop
about it.
Yeah, stop
yeah,
it.
Figure it out. And it definitely has been impressive. But I like the fact that some of these other guys that play for the Pelicans have kind of come out and made a name for themselves. Moore is showing up. They're getting some points off of the bench. But, you know, this isn't a deep team. So I think come off season they address some of those issues. At this point, New Orleans will most likely play the Warriors in round two, which takes us right to our next series. The Warriors lose game four to the San Antonio Spurs. So the Spurs win one. But does it really matter?
Does this mean they're better without Popovich?
No.
Is that really the narrative?
I think that this is a morale. This is a let's
this
rally
is a,
around
this is
track.
A, we didn't get swept. We're not going to go out like this. We, like you say, rally around tragedy.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what this
is. Great collective effort by a Spurs team with no Popovich.
Yeah.
I've got the Warriors taking game five and advancing. But I got to give tip of the cap to Manu Ginobili, who had a really, really gritty performance.
Yes, he did.
10 out of the 16 Spurs points in the fourth quarter came from him.
Yeah.
And I've got a clip we'll insert here, Steve Kerr talking about Manu Ginobili.
Okay.
Tip of the cap to Manu for showing up and doing it the right way and gritting out a win, because Warriors try to close a 10-point gap and Manu basically said, no,
we ain't having that.
I'm not having that. Let's move on. Let's go to the Wizards. They tied the series up with Toronto, winning two straight and protecting home court. The Wizards are back in this thing.
And this is kind of looking like that Raptors team that everybody was waiting for, right? This team that always chokes when it's go time in the playoffs. And everybody thought they won their first two games, and it's like, all right, hey, this is the year. This is the year, right, that the Raptors are going to get it done. And then all of a sudden, now they stumble two games.
I'll go further. I'll say being a second-half team is important. Toronto, game four, fell flat in the second half. DeRozan had 35 points in this game, but otherwise, the Wizards look like the better team in the second half. And that's your story for this game. That's your story for how in game three and game four, the Wizards were able to, we talked about it earlier, halftime adjustments. Come out in the second half, make those adjustments, and stomp their ass. And they protect home court.
Yeah, and it's huge, too. Bradley Beal falls out with 4 minutes left in the game. That's a big-time player to lose when you're in a tight ball game. John Wall was able to pretty much take over and make sure that they could keep the victory.
Yeah, it was a. I've got one other storyline, Drake. Drake tells John Wall, I got a broom ready for you. We're getting ready to sweep.
Don't be doing that. Come on.
Are you superstitious?
I think
is to say some shit like that.
Yeah,
bad juju.
Yes, absolutely. It is absolutely bad juju, because now that's the type of shit that you get memes made out of, right? That's the type of shit that 2 years from now, when you have another chance to sweep, it's gonna be like, oh, remember when Drake said they were gonna sweep and then they ended up getting stomped. You can't do that stuff. You cannot come out, especially as a public figure and a celebrity like Drake is, you can't come out and run your mouth when you have no direct outcome over the game, right? This guy isn't out on the court. He's not helping them win. He can't just come out and make all these guarantees and talk all this trash, because here's what's going to happen. You're putting the all-time jinx on your squad.
I agree. I agree 100%. And I would love to see Toronto fall.
I would love to see them lose four straight.
Ooh.
Right? Oh, we're going to sweep you, and then you lose four straight? That'd be fantastic.
Can't disagree. I don't know that I'm superstitious, but I am a little stitious. 76ers versus the Heat, and the Sixers steal game three.
Yeah.
Steal game four on the road, and they go back to Philly with a 3-1 lead. Despite getting 25 points, the Heat getting 25 points off the bench from D-Wade. The big storyline here is Joel Embiid, and we talked about it last week. He's got the mask on. He's got a broken face. Does it matter? Because they win game three and game four on the road. And if you ask me, it's safe to say that playing Embiid was their best move.
To me, the bigger story is Ben Simmons. Dude put up a triple-double.
I don't hate
First
that.
Time in 40 years that a rookie has put up a triple-double
in the playoffs.
Yeah. That's huge, right?
Yeah,
and then you have a guy, J.J. Redick, remember him?
Yeah, he had a good performance, too.
He's also pouring down points, too. So it kind of takes some of the pressure off Embiid. These are all guys that are getting hot at the same time.
But Embiid immediately comes back in and makes an impact.
He does. He does. 23
in Game 3, 14 points, 12 rebounds in game four, playing 31 minutes, some big man minutes.
And this is a point that we disagreed on, right? I said rest the guy. Yeah. You said play him. Obviously, playing him is working out well.
And the Heat just aren't getting no help. I mean, D-Wade's coming off the bench and getting points, but you got to score.
You need more than Dwayne Wade, right?
You need more than Dwayne Wade. And I'll go even further and say that I don't know that they got the answer for the big man down low. I don't know that they got a guy that can that can guard a Ben Simmons in another. Yeah, I think I've got the Sixers taking this series, and I think we would have agreed on that before, but you steal two on the road, I gotta take you to win the series.
Yeah, the one thing that worries me, turnovers. Sixers turned the ball over 27 times. They also shot 7 for 31 from three-point range.
Yeah, that's
you got to clean that stuff
those
up.
Those are shit
You
numbers.
Might beat the Heat with that. You ain't
you
going to
beat whoever's next.
Yeah, you ain't going to beat anyone else. You ain't going to beat the Cavs.
I believe if the Sixers win in advance, it'll be the Bucks or the Celtics.
You ain't going to beat either one of those teams shooting like that.
Yeah.
And turning the ball over 27 times.
Dude from the Heat steps on Embiid's mask.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this? I thought it was hilarious.
Every sport needs a heel, right?
Yes, they do. Does golf need a heel? You remember that?
It was a total heel move. Yeah, it was.
But to me, the storyline's Embiid. He's the leader on this team, and he comes out and he says, it's time to win. Time to win is now.
Yeah.
He says they want to finish this series in 5 so they can get that rest before the next round. My take, I completely agree. My take is he might be right.
I think
the East is down right now.
I think what makes a team like this extremely dangerous is it's full of young talent that the expectations are, I don't want to say they're low, but nobody's expecting them to go to the finals. Nobody's expecting them to win a championship this year, right? It was trust the process. We're building,
yep,
we're building, we're building. These guys are playing with house money at this point.
I think Embiid's saying that, yeah, I think he sees that this Cavs team isn't as good as they have been.
And obviously Boston isn't as good
as they
have.
What, I got to go through the Celtics? I can handle that.
Yeah.
What, I got to go through the Bucks? I can handle that.
Yep.
Who else? The Raptors? The Raptors are now tied up.
Yeah.
They just gave up 2.
Yeah. Every team is vulnerable, and that's what I was saying earlier. No team is just coming out dominant and showing that, not going to get touched.
Not in the East.
No.
Not in the East. I think your dominant team so far, other than the Pelicans over a Portland Trailblazers team, but
yeah,
it's your Golden State Warriors, and they're taking care of a San Antonio team that's dealing with tough times, but we'll see. I mean, round 2 is going to tell us a lot. And to me, I think playing Embiid was the best move. You get back in this series in a dominant way. So can you admit I was right?
I was wrong.
Okay. All right. Speaking of the East being weak, the Cavs squeak out game 4.
Yeah.
104-100. But this series is still 2-2. And they're headed back to Cleveland. To me, so ESPN, the BPI has the Cavs a 59% favorite. That's not a lot.
That's not a lot.
That's a little more than a coin flip.
Yeah. LeBron James scored 32. And the interesting thing I saw there, Kyle Korver and LeBron James combined for all but two of Cleveland's final 13 points. Basically, LeBron went LeBron mode, right? You said it, playoff LeBron, and he squeaked out a win.
Yeah.
He needs more than just him, right? He can't keep just carrying the squad.
Yeah.
And he's not getting the support that he needs.
I agree.
How far until all of a sudden it catches up with him and the Pacers steal one, you know?
Yeah, and I could see that happen real, real easy. To me, the storyline here is the Lance Stephenson LeBron rivalry.
Yeah.
And it it continues.
It's getting weird, isn't it?
But it continues. It's still happening.
Look, he just kind of bumped him, and dude flies halfway across the court. Isn't that what LeBron said?
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, I barely touched the guy, and he flies across the court.
It'd be wrong to say that fourth quarter didn't get chippy.
Yeah.
But Stevenson.
Do you think he should have got teed up?
I think, well, LeBron did. LeBron
I'm saying,
did
do you
get
think,
teed
do you
up.
Think he should have?
I think.
Because that's what he was saying. He was like, yeah, I barely touched the guy, and
maybe,
he flops halfway across the
maybe
court.
Maybe he shouldn't have got teed up.
Okay.
But I think it's hilarious that a guy like Lance Stephenson gets all up in LeBron's head.
And it bothers him. It bothers him so much.
He gets in LeBron's head.
Yeah.
And that is real. And I think it's going to continue. LeBron with a little arm shove and he gets teed up. And that now you have angry flailing his arms around LeBron crying to the ref.
Yeah.
It's a big difference maker.
Yeah.
And the PPI saying the Cavs are only 59% favorite. That's big.
That's because every game in the series has been close. Every game could have gone either way. There hasn't been a game in which the Cavs have just kind of dominated. The Pacers have been there in every one of these games.
I can't disagree with that. You ready to move on to the Bucks?
Should
we talk about it first, or should we get Boston on the line?
Is he available?
He's available.
Oh, Jesus. All right, yeah, let's get him on.
Gentlemen, what's happening?
Boston. Long time no talk, my man. I saved the best for last today.
Oh boy, well I appreciate that, man. How y'all doing up there? Staying warm, I hope.
It's actually getting real warm. It was what, 50 today? 55?
It's
toasty.
It's slowly but surely getting a little nicer.
55 down here, man. I'm getting my hat and mittens out, bro.
what's the temp looking like down there today, Boston?
Yo, it was 92 and humid as fuck today. It was actually, like, too hot.
Yeah.
Guys were wearing shorts down on Lake Michigan in, like, 45 over the weekend.
That sounds awful. Well, I guess, actually, being from Massachusetts, obviously, that first, like, day that it's below, that's above freezing, you just want to have all your shorts, tank tops. I mean,
yeah, sun's out, snow's melted. It's go time.
I went short sleeves all day yesterday, and it felt wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Got to.
Well, this is what we're doing, Boston. I went through all of the NBA series, but I saved Bucks Celtics for when we could talk to you. And I've noticed that you've gotten really quiet over the last couple games.
Dude clammed up so hard, let's be honest, because he was chirping.
Clammed up a little bit.
Chirping.
And that's fine, and I expected that to happen if we protected home. We protect home, we go back to the Garden tonight. What do you have to say for yourself in the shit talk that you like to spew?
Well, as you guys know, I am one that likes to be heard, which I kind of think goes without saying.
Yes.
Well, I mean, put yourself in my shoes for a second, guys. The Bruins had just absolutely, they scored like 13 or 14 goals in Toronto in two games, so they'd killed Canada. The Celtics had just the first game was real close. Second game, they blew y'all out.
Yep.
The Red Sox are in the midst of being are still in the midst of being the best team in the major leagues. So yeah, I had a couple beers and I got on Twitter and I had myself a good night.
I like that. And we
and then after game two, you disappeared just like Rozier.
Yes. Well, Dan, actually, game two was when Terry Rozier went off and Bledsoe sat there like
three.
A punk.
Yeah, I'm saying after game two, you disappeared just like Rozier did.
It's just funny how Rozier sits there and takes Eric Bledsoe's lunch for two straight games, and he sits there and says, I don't know who the fuck that is.
Eric Bledsoe, or Drew Bledsoe? Because that seems to be a discrepancy.
How is that? Well, come on now. Let's not be bringing up quarterbacks from the 90s. Come on now.
That's what Rozier said. That's why this whole thing started. They interviewed him, and he was talking about the Bucks, and he was like, yeah, you know, Drew Bledsoe and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, Drew Bledsoe?
You mean
Drew
Eric?
Bledsoe?
Well, at least he knew his last name. He had a little bit of respect. No, but I'll tell you what. My honest take on the series is I'm honestly happy that it's tied back 2-2 because after Kyrie went down, I've honestly just been rooting for entertaining and long playoff series because I know the Celtics can't beat the Cavs without Kyrie. I don't think they can beat the Raptors without Kyrie.
Are struggling now. We were just talking about it. They might not get past the Wizards.
The Wizards. I mean, this has been the most exciting playoffs I can remember as far as first round in the NBA. Anybody that had the Pelicans having the only sweep of the NBA playoffs in the first round is crazy.
It's confusing. A 6 seed over a 3 seed. I didn't see that happening.
And not only that, but like Portland balled out the entire year. They have one of the best backcourts in the league, and to have Anthony Davis just come in there and just steal your girl is just incredible.
So because we haven't recapped anything, Game 3. Blowout, and this was never close between the Celtics and the Bucks. Goal was to shut down scorers, shut down Rozier, and we accomplished that in Game 3. Now, Game 4, adjustments were made on Boston's side. 102-104 final had me shitting my pants a majority of the game.
I'll be honest with you, man. I had to work. It was like the worst Sunday afternoon ever. I usually have like 1 o'clock. I'm usually work till 6:30 to 1 Sunday. I had to work 1 to 7. I missed the Celtics and the Red Sox that afternoon, so I didn't actually get to watch much of it. I got updates sent to my phone that said they were down huge at the first half.
Yeah.
And like when I got an update saying they only lost by 2, I thought, well, whatever adjustments they made or whatever must have been effective. So.
It worked out. Now the we've been going through storylines, and the storylines to me are a couple of different things. Marcus Morris is an asshole, just out of control, and maybe that's just the way he plays ball. What is your take on Marcus Morris?
Marcus Morris is that man playing for your team that you can't root for him unless he's on your team.
Yeah,
you're absolutely
I could
right.
See that.
He's an asshole. Akeem Talib. He's a dirty player.
He's a Akeem Talib.
Exactly. He's one of those. He's like another player I liken him to is like Dustin Pedroia. Like, people just fucking hate these guys, but if they play for you, it's cool. I hated when he was, I think he came from Detroit. When he was on Detroit, I fucking hated his ass. I hate his brother in Washington. They're punks. But when he's there balling for your team, having your your guys' backs, the teammates' backs, I got to respect that. Again, I agree that he is a punk and that he's, rough around the edges. But I think another storyline is the fact that your boy Giannis, after winning a game, couldn't even get a taco, for crying out loud.
Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah, we're not there yet.
That
all right,
will be coming
not,
up in
not
segments
a good look.
For sure.
Yeah,
let's talk about another Marcus Smart, rumored to be playing tonight. Is this a difference maker, or is this going to be limited minutes and not as big a deal?
See, I think since he's coming off a hand injury, his wind and his conditioning shouldn't be too far off. Obviously, practice conditioning and game conditioning, as we know, two completely different things. But having it be a hand injury, being able to still travel and practice with the team on a conditioning basis, I don't think you're going to see much of a minutes restriction from him. And I think that he's going to have his main job tonight is going to be to try his best to stay with Chris Middleton, because that guy from the mid-range is just unbelievable. He makes every mid-range shot he throws up.
You know, and it's about time that Middleton showed up in the playoffs.
Me and Dan have talked about it for a while, how Middleton is a frustrating player to root for because he's inconsistent. But from that mid-range jumper, he's pretty lethal. And I agree. I think you need to put somebody out there that's got a little more length that can keep up with that step back.
Well, that and Marcus Smart, pound for pound, is probably the toughest player on the Celtics for sure, maybe in the league. I mean, that guy is just a bulk. And I don't, even if he's not there on the offensive end, I think having him on the defensive end and having him out there as a catalyst and as a physical presence, it's only going to help him, that's for sure.
So just to backtrack, Game 4, we shut down Rozier, but Jaylen Brown comes alive, 34 points. Where the hell did this kid come from, Boston? I mean, He is a fun individual to watch play the game of basketball.
I'll tell you what, getting to watch him perform on this stage after watching, he went through a tough time earlier this year with one of his, I think one of his siblings died. He was basically taking a second seat to Tatum coming in with third overall pick. He just signed Gordon Hayward, just signed Kyrie. And last year, Jaylen Brown couldn't stand on a boat and throw a basketball into the ocean. He was such a bad shooter. And the fact, no, but the fact that he's sitting there putting the entire, I mean, it's no secret. The Celtics have a tough time scoring, especially without Kyrie. And the fact that he's basically taking the entire offensive load and saying, all right, boys, hop on my back. I'm 19 years old. Hop on my back, City of Boston. I'll try to bring it at least to the next round. It's definitely an amazing and a very encouraging sign for, because I've been saying, I'm looking for next year. Whatever the Celtics do in the playoffs this year is great.
It's a bonus. That's a little cherry on top.
I'm hoping Gordon Hayward gets healthy, Kyrie gets healthy. As soon as they said Kyrie was out for the playoffs, I turned to my roommate. I said, all right, well, I guess it's golf season.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll go further. I'll say, I think I kind of felt the same way about the Pelicans with no Boogie. And they've been able to do a little more, but I don't see them getting – they're not making deep run. And I think we all felt the same way about, the Celtics when Kyrie went down. Not going to make a deep run. I think Milwaukee's supposed to win this series. It is kind of fun. They've made it interesting. I got one more thing. You talk about Jaylen Brown stepping up. A guy, and I'll start by saying go Gators. Al Horford has found the fountain of youth and is playing really, really well in this series. My question for you, Boston, is how many times does Giannis have to posterize this guy before he decides not to jump anymore?
I want to ask him and Aaron Baines that same question.
Right.
back to your previous point, just really quick about how the Bucks are supposed to win. In my opinion, the game of basketball is only played – well, not my opinion. It's a fact. They only play with 10 guys on the floor. And in the game of basketball, the team with the best player should usually win a 7-game series, in my opinion. And Giannis is by far head and shoulders the best player on this team.
I'll agree with that, yeah.
But, I mean, I'll be honest, at this point, if Giannis gets in the lane, just get out of the guy's way. I mean, it's only 2 points. It's not worth being on the top 10, on repeat the whole next day. Giannis is probably the most incredible finisher at the rim that plays power forward or small forward, whatever you want to put him as. He's so long, and he has such good ups. And
a dynamic individual.
He's incredible. He's absolutely incredible. And you know what? Credit to the Bucks for taking him when they did. And that I forget which draft it was, but he lasted to like 15.
I don't think either me or Dan, we saw the pick and we're like, all right, yeah, who is this guy?
Was some Greek guy.
They basically took a guy that's completely raw that you see people take in the 10s to 30s every year in the draft. They took a guy with all the potential in the world, completely raw, and with obviously a lot of individual work on his end, but the Bucks organization turned him into a superstar. So that's credit to the Milwaukee organization as well, for sure.
I just hope we can retain him. That's always the tough thing. So you were going to say something, Bertzik. What you got?
No, I was going to say, I think the series, it's interesting. I think the Bucks are going to live and die by the performance of Middleton and Parker. And Parker was one that showed up this last game.
Very true.
Getting 16 points off the bench. It's about time he got some minutes. He put in 25 minutes, and one of the big stories in Milwaukee was he's only playing 10, 14 minutes in the first two games. Finally, he gets some minutes, and Middleton is hot. And that's going to be the issue. If Middleton goes cold, We don't have another scorer. That's the issue. There's nobody scoring.
Well, you've got some guys that have decided to get hot from the three. Like, since when is Thon Maker shooting three-pointers?
Since when is Thon Maker the most intimidating defensive presence in the entire league? Where the fuck did this guy come from?
Dude, swat balls into the stands.
Three and he's fucking putting shit in the seats. I'm like, what the fuck? This guy didn't even play the last two games.
I agree. I think Thon Maker, I've got my key matchups. My key matchups are Horford on Giannis, meaning when Giannis is on offense, Horford needs to play better against him. My other matchup is Giannis on Rozier, because they've made that adjustment and really shut Rozier down. My third key matchup is just Thon Maker down low. You need him to keep doing what he's doing, or else you're going to find guys like Jaylen Brown and guys like Rozier that are going to be able to get to the lane and get easy layups, and you need that length versus a guy like Al Horford who's going to try to bully his way to the rack.
I think it showed with the adjustment that they did make. The issue is the guards. We don't have any guards that can cover. That's a huge issue. Look at Brown. He goes off, right?
Yeah.
We focus on Rozier, and all of a sudden Brown goes off.
Yep.
Why? Because he's being guarded
by
our
Chris
guards.
Middleton by
Bledsoe or Brogdon or whoever else they throw
out
there.
I like Bledsoe's quicks, but he's not the best defensive player.
And he struggled this series. He has not played well.
What do you... What do you got your keys? What are you looking for in this last game? This is my last question for you, Boston.
No, you guys are good, man. I always enjoy talking to y'all. I'm waiting for the Celtics at home tonight. I'm thinking somebody that we haven't even mentioned is just going to step up, and I don't necessarily know who that is. I don't know if it's Shane Larkin. I don't know if it's Greg Monroe. I don't know if it's Jason Tatum. But at home, game five in the Garden, I think the key to the Celtics winning is somebody that nobody thinks is going to step up is going to have to step up. Obviously, the Bucks have made defensive changes and adjustments to, you know, go against our best offensive players in Rozier and Brown and probably in Horford. But they need to figure something. Somebody else needs to figure out a way to score at least 20. And I think if that happens and the Celtics go up 3-2, you're looking at, you know, a 50-50 shot. Who wins the series? Well, if the Bucks win tonight, it's over.
Right now, we've got the BPI. Boston, BPI from ESPN, put as much stock into that as you want. Boston's a 74% favorite. And I think that is strictly...
That's wild.
I think that's strictly because you guys still have home court advantage. You get
two at home. Yeah. I think, honestly, tonight, I think
decides the series.
I think whoever wins tonight wins the series. Sure, if Boston wins, we might come home and take one. We're not winning game seven in the Garden. It's just not happening.
Yeah, and I'll go further and say I don't know if I have more faith in us winning a game seven or less faith in us winning four in a row against a good Boston team. Like, that seems really improbable to me. But we're going to find out.
I'll tell you what, I think the Celtics win tonight. I think the Bucks win game six and game seven. Anything can happen. Y'all are sports fans. You know that.
Yep. I think you turn that BPI right into like a 55-58% Boston.
You don't even look at BPI. You don't even look at BPI. You roll the ball out there and say, let's fucking play some ball.
I like it.
The Bucks could come out and get blown out, or they could come out and Giannis could take over and put up 40, 50 points. You know, you don't know what's going to happen in a game seven scenario. But I don't know. I just don't see this Bucks. After seeing game one and two, I just don't see this Bucks team being able to last seven and win one on the road.
Yeah.
I feel like we've been far too cordial this phone call, because I'm sitting here saying the Bucks are so good. You guys are sitting here saying the Celtics are so good. Like, tell me to go fuck myself or something.
We're taking it easy on you because, you know, Gronk's leaving and...
Yeah, the Patriots dynasty's on its way out.
You know, the Bruins have been losing games. Yeah, you
just got no hit by the A's.
You got no hit by the A's. You know, you guys... It was a tough... Worse weekend than you was Boston sports fans,
yeah.
Yeah, well, if a guy has to pitch the best game of his life for a team to beat you, then that's a nice problem to have. Because I bet you they don't get no hit again this season.
I'll tell you I'll take 16-2 in a no hitter. I'll be okay with that.
Before we let you go, Boston, let's talk briefly some football. What is going on with Gronk?
He's angling for a new contract. It's everything that he's saying right now is completely just him and Rosenhaus angling for a new contract. He's like the fifth or sixth highest paid tight end in the league right now.
Can you disagree with that, Bursick?
No, this is Gronk being Gronk. You know what's cool about Gronk? He doesn't give a fuck, because sign him and they tell him just to fucking kick rocks, he's just going to go to the WWE and get paid.
You might be right.
And film stupid movies and throw college parties.
I think Boston was literally about to say, you know what the problem with Gronk is? He doesn't give a fuck.
Well, that's the thing. It's like the problem, that, in my opinion, is that he literally, like, he did that motocross freaking presser the other day or whatever. He's like, oh, I'm just trying to work on my dirt bike skills. When literally, like, 50 feet away from him, his entire team is in the locker room working out. It's like, dude, that's just like, got to have a little bit more self-awareness.
No, he doesn't give a fuck. He's just trying to irk Belichick.
Yeah,
he gets off on that stuff.
As long as Gronkowski has a contract with the New England Patriots and Tom Brady is the quarterback, Gronkowski will play.
As soon as
Brady retires, as soon as Gronkowski's contract runs out, I mean, that's when you're really going to – I mean, I have no clue what happens after that.
Do you put any stake in this whole rumor going around that Brady and Gronk are both still upset over how the Malcolm Butler situation was handled?
No, not at all. I think they're upset with the fact that they're both, you know, whatever. Gronk's been in the league for almost probably like 8 or 9 years now. Brady's been in the league since God was born.
Breaking news, Rob Gronkowski will return to the Patriots for this season.
Ooh, breaking.
Oh, Well, it's like
it's,
I said,
it's coming up on the TV right now. That's the only reason I interrupted.
Why is this
you.
Breaking news? And the same with Tom Brady. That was breaking news. That Tom Brady says his plans haven't changed. Any plans on playing? Did they ever say they were not playing?
Yeah, Bertzik, it was two. It's two, it was. They reported that 2 weeks before the draft, during a dead time between free agency and the draft. We're come on. Makes we sense. All saw right
yeah.
through it.
Yep.
You know, it's. I mean, the fact that Brady literally is out there in Qatar kicking footballs into the ocean with his super smoking hot wife, and his agent sitting there like, "Yeah, he's still gonna fucking play. Everything's straight." Like, it's just ESPN.
We can only see Mel
network.
Kiper and Todd McShay so many times that they need to like fill in something else.
Can we talk? Can we talk draft real quick? I mean, does it even matter from the point of a Patriots, you know, point of view.
This is the most important draft in a decade for the Patriots.
Yeah, I agree.
They lost so much in free agency. They have glaring holes on their on offensive, defensive, and linebacker, like offensive and defensive lines and linebacker. And we like at it's getting to after this offseason. I mean, you got to find somebody to succeed Brady when it's all said and done. I have certain opinions on who that should be and how they should go about it in the draft, but that's...
Yeah, he plays for the San Francisco 49ers. That's who should have succeeded him.
No, I disagree. Cause
who
I don't
do
think
you like?
Jimmy, who do I like? I really like Lamar Jackson if they can get him at 23. I think sitting 2 or 3 years behind Brady and
that
with
would
McDaniels
be such a
and
Patriots
Belichick,
pick too.
It would be so pick. Awesome. Yeah. The other one I like is if they stayed at 23 and 31, they take Rashawn Evans, linebacker from Bama, at 23. Love that because they need a linebacker that can actually cover somebody.
Interesting.
And then take Rudolph at 31.
Do you see the Patriots?
Or Colton Mitter, the offensive tackle there from UCLA. I like him too.
Go ahead, do you see them packaging their picks at all to move up?
I don't because Belichick's never packaged 2 first-round picks together to move up his entire career as a coach or GM or anything. More than likely, if somebody that they really like falls into the mid to late teens, they might take 23 or 31 and package it with one of their third or fifth round picks and move up into the teens. But you won't. I'd be just as shocked as anybody else if they took both 23 and 31 and moved into the top 10.
Well, the interesting thing is if Gronk's coming back, you know, we talked about how you guys could plug and play tight ends, but they just showed the percentage. When Gronk's on the field, Brady's percentage goes from like 40 to like 68%. I mean, it skyrockets. So, chemistry is a real thing, and those two have it. And it's one of those things where it is going to be a major hit if and when either of these guys go their separate ways. I want to ask you one more thing, and then we're going to let you go, Boston. We have got Brady Rodgers in Gillette this year, once and for all. Are you going to be in attendance?
What month of that is that again?
I have no idea.
I think it's like nine. I'll be there. I'll make a trip up for that.
Yeah, I'm already looking at tickets to go. I know that's not something you have to worry about as much. I had it on my questions for Zick. Bertzik, what do you think tickets started at for that game?
$600.
$458. Right, it's already up to $565.
Yeah, I wanted to go when it was Denver and Packers, and it was Manning and Rodgers.
Yeah,
and you couldn't walk into Invesco for under
$400. Yep.
Couple of years ago, I went up for Brady's first game off suspension there against the Bengals. I did not have a seat. There was $600 a piece for a regular season game.
Woo!
That's insane.
And that doesn't include if me and the wife wanted to go. That doesn't include hotel flights. I mean, that's a tough one. We're gonna keep our eye on it and try to make it happen. But woo, I don't know.
Boston,
yeah, no,
I got one more for you before we let you go.
It's draft week.
I got one question. Who's going 1-1? And are the Browns going to fuck this draft up? They have 2 picks in the top 4.
Well, I'll tell you what the Broncos should do. They should take that guy Quentin Nelson if he's there.
I like Quentin Nelson. Otherwise, I'm hoping Chubb falls.
I don't blame you. I would definitely hope Chubb falls. But I think I don't know. I think Sam Darnold goes. I think that was all honestly predetermined like last year during the draft.
So all this Baker Mayfield is smokescreen and smoke and mirrors.
Josh Allen.
But Baker Mayfield's going to go to the Jets at 3.
What are the Browns going to do at 4? Do they take another pick? Do they trade it out? Do they get
Saquon
it right?
Barkley.
I wouldn't be surprised if you saw somebody like the Buffalo Bills with 12-22 try to move up and get up there to four.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised at that. Wouldn't be surprised at Saquon Barkley. I mean, imagine if they took Mayfield at one and Barkley at four. I mean, that's got to be one of the most athletic quarterback running back duos of the entire league.
It's definitely a talent heavy draft this year. I mean,
it's awesome. And the best part about it is that there's like five or six quarterbacks that are all going to be taken in the first round. And if you look at them by a player grade, you know, thing, it's, they're probably not all first round players. Maybe two or three of them are, and it's going to dilute the, it's going to dilute other players and push them to, you know, teams farther back in the draft. Push,
it's nuts that Denver's
players
at five and they might not even take a quarterback. Like, you're top five and you need a quarterback.
Yeah, but if it's not,
and you
the
might
guy,
not even take one.
If it ain't the guy you want.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, a guy like Chubb or Barkley or something could fall.
Sure.
Because all these quarterbacks are being taken in
or
the top three or four picks.
Or they don't fall and it ends up being a, you know, let's say it is Sam Darnold. Let's say it's Baker Mayfield that falls. And that ain't the guy you wanted. Do you take a fifth overall just to get a second-rate quarterback in Elway's eyes? I don't think he does.
I don't know. That's what makes
this
draft so
exciting. He already did that with Paxton Lynch. I think he learned his lesson.
I think so, too,
yeah. And I think he will be a little more gun-shy now. I think it'll be if the quarterback we want isn't there, then we are looking elsewhere.
I could even – if the quarterback he wants isn't there or the second-rate player you want isn't there, meaning a Chubb, meaning a Saquon Barkley, and you don't want to go guard, which I love that. I love that take,
yeah,
Boston.
Yeah, I do like that.
But
he's the only player in the draft that I literally haven't heard anything bad on. It's not that,
I
you
think
know,
he'll
he's
go,
got
he's
like
a first
if he
sure
doesn't
deal.
Go top five,
the class, nothing.
If he doesn't go top five, I think he'll go six or seven. I mean,
yeah, you got. I said you got the Colts right behind us.
He'll go there.
If that team doesn't scream, we need offensive line help. You have a quarterback that's been hurt for 2 years because you couldn't protect him.
Furthermore, I think that this is going to be a super fun draft because nobody really knows what's going to happen, and I think we do see some big names fall. I look at the top 10, and then I look at Green Bay sitting at 14, and I think some really really good players could fall that far.
You guys could be in a really good position there at 14.
I agree, just on base of
a lot of the skill position players,
yep.
the defensive backs in this draft seem to be very deep in my opinion, which is something you guys could definitely use help with.
Yep. Yep.
I think the Broncos also, if they don't love one of the quarterbacks, they bought themselves at least 2 or 3 years.
Yep.
With the Keenan sign. I mean, whether you like it or not, they're invested in that guy for at least 3 years.
Yeah,
now.
No, and that's what I like. That's why I'm okay with a Chubb or the Quentin pick. I'm okay with
but
that.
But if it's not the guy you want, no way's not sold on that. I could see him selling that pick to Buffalo or selling
that
pick to Miami.
That would piss me
it
off.
Would piss,
I,
it,
I hate that.
It
it's
pisses
like,
me off every
how
single
often
year.
Do you get
but
a
top
don't
five
even get
pick.
Me started about trading back in drafts and getting pissed off. All right, I didn't pick to the third fucking round last year.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, Boston, tell the people where they can find you, and we appreciate you coming on, man.
They can find me at AETHIER22 for all your hot Boston takes. And as I hope most people notice by now, I'm a huge, huge draft guy. I can talk draft any player, any team needs, overrated, underrated, you know, sleepers, sliding guys. Like, just hit me up on Twitter if you want to talk any draft. It's my favorite time of the year. Fellas, it's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, brother.
Let's not be so long next time. What do you say?
Hey, best of luck to you tonight, good sir.
I hope you y'all's ass.
Guys, this has been the most cordial and honest good luck. I just want to see three good basketball games. I want it to go seven, and I want to see three good basketball games where we're all sitting there at the end saying the better team won.
I don't hate that. All right, Boston, we appreciate you, man. As he said, A. Ether on Twitter. You can find him at PodcastBSR. Hit him up. Talk some shit to him. He'll give it right back to you. Ain't that right, Boston?
Hey, I always like conversing with my fans. So,
all right, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Bertzik, good luck. And by the way, fellas, I've been watching the Milwaukee Brew Crew from afar, thinking of you guys, and not bad so far. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, there we go. Not
appreciate
bad.
That, man. All right, talk to you soon, man.
Tough central up there, but keep it up, fellas. I'll talk to you soon.
Later.
Bye.
All right. That was our Boston Insider. He's a Boston Insider for a reason. You can find him at PodcastBSR. We'll be tweeting this out. Give him a follow. He's a good follow. I got a couple questions for Zick before we round this thing out.
All right, lay it on me.
Just came across a the ticker. Oh, Meek Mill.
I was going to say, if we're talking Gronkowski again. Meek Mill, yeah.
Meek Mill released.
The owner of the Sixers is going to pick him up, I heard.
Released from prison.
Yeah.
And most likely will be in attendance for Game 5. Is this something or nothing? Does this
even something
matter?
Because I hate this. I hate the fact that we can have celebrities and athletes make a big enough stink that it forces our government to call special hearings to let this guy out of jail.
Or even further, that some rapper that has broken the law countless times is now on my ESPN feed.
I hate the fact that everybody's like, he's such a good guy. Really? Because he was busted on, like, weapons charges,
if
drug
he was
charges.
Such a good guy,
he's violated
he wouldn't
probation.
Be in jail.
Yeah, and I get this judge was trying to make an example out of him. And yes, maybe the sentence was a little harsh.
Maybe.
But the fact that we are putting so much time and resources into getting this dude out so he can attend Game 5, like, really?
Fuck
really?
This guy.
Like, you and I couldn't call up the Sixers and be like, hey, we'd really, really enjoy a basketball game. Like, this would mean the world to us. This would probably be, like, a moment I would remember forever. And they're like, yeah, buy a ticket like everybody else.
Deep
Meek
down.
Meek Mill, they're like, oh, we need to break him out of prison so he can come and watch a basketball game. This is going to be incredible.
Deep down, I'll go further and say that it doesn't make them any money. It doesn't benefit them at all to have him courtside.
No.
It's stupid.
Yeah, I hate every bit of this.
A guy that it does benefit to be courtside is Aaron Rodgers.
Here we go.
Questions for Zick. Yeah. Question number two, thoughts on Rodgers Bucks ownership?
I want to like Rodgers so bad, but I feel like he's so fake at times.
He's not a likable guy by a lot of
people. Something about his face, isn't it? It's just you look at him, and there's just something about his face.
Can
you
he do anything about
it? No, you just want to put your fist in it. And
oh, wow.
He's talking about it, and he's saying all the right things. I've been in Wisconsin for 13 years. I want to stay here. I want to have a future here when I'm done playing football. I want to be invested in the community. I love Milwaukee. I love Wisconsin. And he's saying all the right stuff, right? And I'm just
so why
like,
don't you trust him?
Because I'm just like, God, you're sitting there with Danica Patrick, and you're going to fly back to your California mansion. You're not down on the east side. You're not down in the third ward. No.
He lives in Appleton.
You know what? He lives in Appleton while he's playing football. You know he lives out in L.A. somewhere. Yeah,
probably.
During the offseason.
Probably.
So don't come in here. But I love this town so much. Really? Then why don't you have a penthouse downtown? Right.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Fair enough.
You're up in Green Man, Appleton.
Maybe he will have a penthouse downtown now. He's the owner now.
Dude, and then it was whatever. Hughes asked him. He's like, you know, does this mean that we're going to be seeing you at more Bucks games and stuff? And he goes into the immediate PR response of, we have a young, talented squad. You know, Giannis is one of the best players in the NBA, and we have a great future in Thonmaker.
But that's
Malcolm
not
Brown.
What I
that's
asked
That's not what
you,
I asked.
Aaron.
I asked if we're going to see you more. And he just said, you know, we're going to have a new arena. We're going to have the state-of-the-art facilities. That's not what he asked
you. Do you think we see him more?
No.
No?
No. I think you see him for playoff games, and maybe
do you think
he's going to be there to open the arena.
Do you think this is
right?
good for the Bucks organization?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a great PR thing.
I think the combination of Wisconsin sports teams can't be a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's good PR.
I feel like for this, if it were somebody like Giannis, hey, I got a stake. I purchased the Milwaukee Admirals. I threw a big chunk into that. It's like, oh, cool. This seems like a good dude. It's a local thing. Yeah. Roger, I keep thinking of the PR spin on this. Like, he's an investor. He sees this brand new arena.
We'll keep an eye on it. We'll see if he actually does make some efforts to
get out in public a little bit and, you know, mingle.
I also don't blame him because
Aaron Rodgers.
He's Aaron Rodgers.
And he's got Danica Patrick in an L.A. mansion to fly
Aaron
home
Rodgers
to.
Aaron Rodgers ain't going to Bel Air Cantina for tacos. Speaking of which, I got one more before we get into Dumbass of the Week. Who do you think...
Wait, Bel Air Cantina was not Dumbass of the
they
Week?
They are Dumbass of the Week. I've got one more question for Zick.
Okay.
Question number three. Who do you think the sponsor or the naming rights for the new Bucks Arena will go to? They are saying that it is a Wisconsin, well-known Wisconsin company, Wisconsin name, Milwaukee name, and it has a national presence. I've got a couple of takes, but
Let's fire a couple back and forth.
One of the ones that jumped out was Harley, but Harley's kind of been under, like, financial issue, and they got their name on the jersey already, so I don't see them doing a a city thing.
And Harley had talked about shutting down some plants.
Yeah.
I don't think they're doing that.
There's two other names that jumped out to me when I saw people kind of mentioning them. Northwestern Mutual was one of them.
That's the big one to me. I think that they've got the money to do it.
They just built that brand new building downtown.
And it's
they have money. It's an insurance company, right?
Yeah, but is that what you want your insurance company doing with that money?
Yeah, I don't know. But then here's one.
$7 to $10 million a year?
Yeah. Curveball. We have the Smoothie King Arena, wherever that is, right? We have all these ridiculous arenas. I'm going to say a wild card Quick Trip. Because I'll tell you what.
Wow.
There's a Quick Trip on every damn corner. And they're fantastic.
For those of you down south, Quick Trip is like a Wawa, or it's a gas station.
It's a gas station. And I swear to God, they're popping up on every corner.
They're nice gas stations.
And they're nice gas stations. And and they're taking off around here.
They are.
So look out for the Quick Trip Arena.
That's the first time I've heard Quick Trip. Mine is, I could still see BMO.
I don't see
they're
that.
They're a bank.
No,
why
yeah,
not?
I don't see that.
I could see, what was that, Milwaukee Tool?
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. Here's another one that I thought was interesting. What about Culver's?
No, I don't see that happening.
You don't see that? Culver's has a lot of money.
I'll tell you this. I've never seen a Culver's down south until after I moved up here, and they're down in Florida now. They're growing.
Getting a little national presence.
It's interesting.
The Culver's Arena.
It's all really hush, hush.
What about the David Gruber one call that's all arena?
No, fuck no. Fuck Gruber. What about Peter Francis and Geraci?
Gruber's
like, no.
Stupid mug on the front of that thing.
Him, dude. He was smiling and shaking like he's got freaking Parkinson's. Yeah, no,
but,
I hope not.
Why do you think, what is the secrecy, too?
It's
what,
quiet.
Because they're like, oh, well, we're getting ready to announce.
We're in the playoffs.
Why? Is that what it is?
We're still in the old building. Okay. Let's give them all of that.
Is that what it is?
I don't think they want to take focus off of.
Okay.
And it could be an agreement. Like, no, we still have naming rights. You can't announce anything until season is officially over.
Until they get bounced.
Yeah. Until they get bounced. Let's go to Dumbass of the Week. Who do you got? I got Bel Air Cantina.
You start out first. That was one of mine for
sure. Yeah, and it's a worse weekend than you, too, because you know how much money they are probably going to lose now.
And let me ask you this. Is it something or nothing? Was it right? Because people are
outraged. I think it is something.
They blew them up
on
Twitter.
Kim loves the place. So Bel Air, for those not in the know, not in Milwaukee, Bel Air Cantina is a little chain in the city of Milwaukee. I haven't seen it anywhere else. But they are taco joints with tequila and, and they're
they have, I believe it's 5 or 6 restaurants in Wisconsin.
Sure.
Now.
And they do Tuesdays and Thursdays. They do $2 tacos, $2 Modelos, $2 mystery shots of tequila. I mean, it is a good place to get dinner on the cheap. But the food ain't great
any
means. It's good, not great.
Yeah.
And they're always slam-packed when you want to go because of the deals they run. So, story goes, Giannis went to a Bel Air Cantina and they just didn't acknowledge him, didn't seat him.
The rumor is he was there for 10 minutes and didn't get any sort of acknowledgement. And then when they did acknowledge him, they apologized and said, like, they don't have a spot. Now, what people on Twitter going crazy.
I'm out of here then.
People on Twitter were going crazy saying that there were patrons there trying to give up their tables,
Giannis. Hey, Giannis, can I get a picture? You can have my table.
And there's literally a picture of Giannis leaning up against, like, the hostess stand.
Looking on his phone and
chilling, waiting to get into this place. This dude just won a playoff game no more than an hour ago.
And
he
you
is
can't
like
give this
the
man a
face
seat.
Of one of the three
He's
major
the face
sports
of Milwaukee.
Teams. Yes, and you can't.
Who's
give
more
this...
famous right now? Ryan Braun, Eric Thames, or,
I was
or
just
Giannis?
Say, Ryan Braun would be the only other person that could walk into any restaurant in Milwaukee, and everybody would drop everything for him.
The only other Milwaukee athlete. Let's not get into Green Bay Packers.
No, that's what
but...
I'm saying. For a Milwaukee athlete, if Ryan Braun or Giannis walked in, I would think at any establishment they could say, "I need a table right now."
and they would build him a damn table if they had to.
I'll build him a table.
There would be room.
Giannis, I'll make you tacos somewhere. In my kitchen. We'll eat in the basement.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever you want, dude.
It blows my mind that he left and walked down the street to a different. He went to a pizza place. To a pizza joint, and they got him in right away. And I'll tell you what, I love. There are a ton of other taco joints around here that have capitalized on this.
Fuck yeah.
One of them, they tweeted out a picture of a table that was painted like his jersey and had a big reserved sign on it.
Yeah.
And it said, like, anytime you need a table, you can come here.
I got you, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
I told my wife right away, this makes me not want to go back.
I
doubt I will be going back to a Bel Air Cantina in the near future.
I was shocked. Somebody told me that this happened, and I'm like, no way. Like, you can't. First of all, how does Giannis just go out in public and not get swarmed, right? And then
it didn't look like he was getting swarmed, though.
And it's like, and he walks into a restaurant, and it's not even like this is some prestigious five-star restaurant.
No, dude, Bel Air Cantina
bar.
Is a casual taco. It's a taco joint.
And you can't accommodate this dude. Dude's 7 feet tall, right? He's not just blending in. You see him walk in the door.
You know what happens when you do something like this.
You get dumbass of the week on this podcast.
You get dumbass of the week.
Speaking of dumbasses, my dumbass of the week goes out to Jay Feely, former NFL kicker. Did you see this? Jay Feely's daughter was going to prom, and they posted picture. Before prom, you take your pictures with the couple and whatnot. And Jay Feely decides that I'm going to post a picture of myself with my arm around my daughter between her and the date, and I'm going to be holding a handgun while that's happening.
You didn't like that, did you, Bird?
With all of the current issues, I guess, plaguing our nation between all the arguments of gun reform and not gun reform and just gun violence, like, come on, dude, you got to be smarter than this. You're a public figure. You're a celebrity. You're an athlete. I get it was a joke. I get it. It's the old dad's cleaning his shotgun
Where's
while you're
from?
Coming over for the date. I don't know where
That's
he's
an
from.
Interesting question, though.
It's really, like, do you think that was a good idea?
No, bad move.
I
bad
get
move.
It was a joke. Do you think it was a good idea?
Yeah, probably not. You get dumbass of the week. I got one more. The University of Central Florida puts 2017 national champions on their stadium and decided they're going to give out rings.
I saw this.
You get dumbass of the week on this podcast because I talked to Chris America, our buddy over at the scout team. Scout team.
Yeah.
Dude, we got so many. I was going to say two-man band. Then I was going to say. So over
Scout Team Radio.
Scout Team Radio, you can hear them all the time at 12OunceSportsRadio.com. And I was talking to Chris America, and he was telling me, no, this worked. This is a good thing because I now wear my UCF shirt around, and I get positive feedback. I get people that know what it is.
Whereas, because you made up a championship, now people know your team. That's what we're arguing.
I look at it as you are the laughing stock of the NCAA.
Yeah, I don't look at that.
This is
like a prestigious.
This
thing.
Is a joke. This is a fucking joke. I don't like it.
I don't like it at all.
You get dumbass of the week on this podcast. You do some shit like that.
Let's turn around a little positive, shall we?
Do it.
Tip of the cap.
What you got?
My tip of the cap goes to Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Nice.
There was one of these girls, you know, I'm asking The Rock to prom. So what he did is he ended up basically going over their PA system in the school and said that he was looking for that girl. And one of the things he did is he rented out an entire theater for her and her friends to go see one of The Rock's new movies in lieu of being able to go to prom, but I'm gonna hook up you and your friends.
Yes, that's kind of cool.
And The Rock always seems like he's that nice guy. He seems like a nice guy.
That's nice. That's a good tip of the cap. Yeah. You got a This Is Electric?
I have a few This Is Electric. Number one, it's all of these celebrities playing golf with a realistic they have those people on street corners that are like painted up like statues.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
that's a good
one. He's painted up as a golf statue, and they have all of them. He's right off the tee box, and they're like posing for pictures in front of him, and then the statue jumps alive.
Yeah.
I thought that was electric.
Scaring the shit out of
him. Yeah. And then I don't know if you saw this. I retweeted it. There's a picture of James Harden falling into the crowd,
And somebody said, quote, this is like a painting from the Renaissance. And it's James Harden, like, laying in the sea of people. And the expressions and the points, they're, like, all looking over. And he looks so majestic as he's laying in this crowd of people.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
It's a great photograph.
You can find it at PodcastBSR on Twitter. You got any more?
I would like to do a little RIP. Davey Nelson, one of the post-game voices of the Brewers, passed away.
Thoughts and prayers to his family Brewers family. Nation, for that matter.
And I know we're past dumbasses, but I have the biggest dumbass of the week.
Bigger than Bel Air Cantina?
Bigger than Bel Air Cantina.
I don't know if I believe that.
My biggest dumbass of the week goes out to Big Rick. Big Ooh! Rick, calling you out. Co-host with the most. He is pirating, he is infringing copyright. This is an issue.
Big Rick, we can't
take this lightly. I tell you what, two-man ban. You can't be taking content.
You know what? I told him that I would allow it if he admits once and for all that MLB is better than WWE.
And he wouldn't do it.
So, cease and desist is in the mail.
It's in the mail. Our people are going to be in touch with your people.
It's a problem.
This is a problem.
It's a problem.
And we're not going to stand for it.
Hit them up. They're at Two Man Band Podcast. Yeah. We are at Podcast BSR. Tell them how they're piece of shit stealing thieves.
Light them up.
I talked to Big Rick today and told him that you may try to reach out next week and use him. Because I'm going to be in Houston.
Okay.
And maybe he can be co-host with the most for you.
Oh, I like that.
Or co-host with the least. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Hit us up. We are at Podcast BSR. Shout out to you guys over at Two Man Band Podcast. Shout out to Scout Team Radio. Shout out to our friends at 12OunceSportsRadio.com. Check us out there. Not tomorrow, but Thursday we go live. Going to try to get an MLB preview done for you guys really soon. Should hear a new sound next week as I will be out of town. In the meantime, hit us up. You can reach me at Podcast BSR. You can reach Dan at DXMoney30, and we will see you next time.